We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilken. The Guttmacher Institute has issued a report, and although the numbers lag a little bit in the years, I think we only go back to 2014, it takes time to compile these things, they are reporting, at least in terms of the data, not in terms so much of the cause, that abortion, the rate of abortion in the United States has fallen precipitously, and in some cases very precipitously, and continues to go down. Now, the Guttmacher Institute has reasons it suggests that abortion has gone down. Are those the right reasons, and should we understand this data in a different way? Joining us to talk about the historic low abortion rates in the U.S., Dr. Michael New. He's visiting associate professor of economics at Ave Maria University, associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and author of a recent column for the Daily Caller titled Historically Low Abortion Rates Demonstrate Pro-Life Success. Dr. New, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
The last time we spoke, you had mentioned that in evaluating reports on abortion numbers and things like that, you need to consider the source of that data. Here we have the Guttmacher Institute releasing updated abortion statistics in the United States. Who are they, and why does their report matter?
The Guttmacher Institute, up until relatively recently, a few years ago, was Planned Parenthood's research arm. The Planned Parenthood had their own research arm that, by and large, would publish a lot of research that purportedly would make the case that, you know, abortion is safe and that money spent on contraception programs is money well spent. And there's usually reason to be skeptical of Guttmacher reports, or at least usually the spin they put. I mean, some of the research they do is accurate. What's frustrating is the spin. And they came out with this report a few weeks ago showing that abortion rates have fallen to an all-time low, even lower than what they were in 1973. And there's a good chance that's correct based on what we know from the CDC and other data sources. There's a lot of data points to indicate that abortion numbers are falling. What's disappointing is their spin. And they claim that contraception is the reason why, or increased contraception use is the reason why. And there may be a little bit of merit to that in the short term. But what's interesting is that this report shows that the abortion rate has fallen by more than 50% since 1980. And unintended pregnancy rates have been fairly stable since that time. So it's possible that contraception might be having some impact in the short term. But the interesting question is, why have abortions fallen by 50%, or the abortion rate has fallen by 50% since 1980? And again, with the unintended pregnancy rate being fairly stable, it's not contraception. It's pro-life laws, it's changes in public opinion, it's pregnancy resource centers, it's not contraceptives.
Let's take that first point first, if we could, and that is pro-life laws. The law is an instructor. When laws are passed, they do have a tendency to teach things to the public, don't they?
Absolutely. Law is a teacher, and that's kind of one thing that almost every political science student should learn. And we saw that happen after the Roe v. Wade decision, that when Roe v. Wade was passed, it gave legal abortion kind of mainstream credibility and legitimacy. And during the 70s, you saw abortion rates go up and saw them go up pretty dramatically. They doubled between 1973 and 1980. And I think that's the changing of the law with Roe v. Wade, or at least that decision, again, gave abortion legitimacy and credibility it didn't have before, and that resulted in some very sharp increases in the abortion rate over the short term.
When did that begin to change in terms of the law and the law kind of re-instructing the American public about what abortion really is and does?
Well, several things happened during the 1980s that were favorable. First off, we elected a pro-life president, Ronald Reagan, in 1980, and we started to get some better judges on the Supreme Court. And we didn't succeed in overturning Roe v. Wade, but we got some good decisions. We did get the Hyde Amendment upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court in Harris v. McRae in 1980. The Hyde Amendment, in case your listeners don't know, is a federal law passed every year that largely prevents federal Medicaid dollars from funding abortion. And there's a big, big body of research that shows if you quit funding abortion, abortion numbers go down. So one thing pro-lifers did well in the early 80s is we got the federal government out of the business of funding abortion. And ever since then, ever since, you know, 1980, the abortion rate has fallen just about every year. And I did another study for the Lozier Institute indicating the Hyde Amendment has probably saved about 2 million lives in the past 40 years or so. So that's had a big impact as well. We've got some other court decisions that have upheld parental involvement laws and informed consent laws and other kinds of pro-life laws. There's good research showing that these incremental laws also get down abortion rates as well. So those are a couple of things that happened that were favorable. Also in 1984, The Silent Scream came out. That's been a documentary that is probably the most famous in the pro-life movement. That was the first documentary to show an ultrasound of an abortion being done. I think that really changed hearts and minds a great deal. So a combination, I think, of education, legislation, and other initiatives have changed hearts and minds, and that's why you see abortion numbers falling.
State by state, there have been, and this is not uniform to all the states, but many states have done a lot of things in order to regulate abortion, or at least oversee abortion. Talk about that, if you would.
I mean, we also see, especially after the Kermit Gosnell trial in 2013, where he was conducting abortions in just deplorable, unsanitary conditions, that really led a lot of people to believe that abortion really needs to be better regulated. And a lot of these physicians who do abortions sometimes have had their medical licenses been revoked. Sometimes they've run into other problems offering substandard care. And we've seen many states go ahead and take a closer look at these regulations, Texas being one of them, trying to make sure that if something does go wrong during the abortion, the physician has admitting privileges at a nearby hospital, making sure if someone needs to be taken to the emergency room, personnel can get in and out of the clinic in a timely manner. So you see a lot of states taking a real interest in this and trying to at least better regulate these clinics, because, again, there is good evidence that many abortions are performed in substandard conditions.
In other words, the legal climate when it comes to abortion in the United States has changed significantly since the 1980s. Why is it that the Guttmacher Institute, while their data might be as accurate as it can be, why is it that that is not included as a possibility for the lowering abortion rate?
Well, the reason why is that Guttmacher, again, up until maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, was Planned Parenthood's research arm. Even though they're no longer officially related to Planned Parenthood, I still think they get some research funding from Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood is very much in the contraception business. You know, they get large government grants to try to give out contraception to people. There's a big body of research that shows that efforts to encourage contraception use, whether through subsidies, distribution, what have you, are ineffective at best or counterproductive at worst. That said, Guttmacher has a vested interest in trying to make it appear as if contraception works as a way to get abortion rates down. So anytime there's any kind of good news on the abortion rate front, they're quick to critic contraception.
Can we possibly look forward to a further falling abortion rate, given the fact that, well, we could just go back to last year, wherein we had a long series of investigative undercover videos for Planned Parenthood?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the rates are going to continue to fall. I mean, they have fallen very consistently since 1980. They've fallen during times of economic growth. They've fallen during recessions. They've fallen during Republican presidents. They've fallen during Democratic presidents. You know, I think that the defunding of Planned Parenthood, which the Republican Congress may well do, should help in that regard. But I think that we see a lot of parts and minds being changed. One thing that's interesting is that the current generation of young people are a lot more sympathetic to the pro-life message than previous generations. There's something called the General Social Survey that comes out either every year, every other year, very comprehensive, used very widely by scholars of public opinion. And during the 70s and 80s, they found that people in their 20s were the most sympathetic to legal abortion. And in recent years, ever since about 2000, they found people in their 20s are the least sympathetic to legal abortion, the most pro-life, even more pro-life than the elderly. So again, I think you've seen a generation growing up around ultrasounds, seeing pictures of brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews in utero, and I think that really has changed hearts and minds.
On a personal level for that generation, could they also be aware of the fact that they themselves survived abortion?
Yep, I mean, this generation, we are survivors. I mean, I was born in 1975. I'm part of the post-Roe generation. They're, classmates and friends that are missing because of abortion. And I think that does play in their psyche as well.
So finally, how would you summarize what the Guttmacher Institute has reported, and how would you encourage our listeners to understand it?
Again, the fact that abortion rates are now lower than they were in 1973 is a bigger deal than many realize. When the Roe v. Wade decision came down in 1973, abortion may have technically been legal, but it still wasn't widely available. I mean, at the time before Roe v. Wade, maybe only 5 or 6 states was abortion legal. New York was really the only state that made it, quote-unquote, easy for out-of-state women to obtain abortions. And even after Roe v. Wade, there was still some subsequent legal action. You know, many states, especially many Catholic states, did pursue legal action to stop abortion facilities from opening up. So even though abortion had been legal in 1973, it wasn't necessarily available everywhere. So the fact that the numbers are lower than they today than they were in 1973, as far as abortion rates go, does show that, you know, the pro-life movement has made some impressive progress. And again, I think we need to keep doing what we're doing. This is about needs to be fought on many levels. We need to pray. We need to elect good candidates. We need to assist women facing crisis pregnancies. Again, there's many areas to work on, and we need to keep doing all these things simultaneously, keep changing hearts and minds. And I think someday we will come across a time when all the unborn children are protected in the law.
Dr. Michael New is visiting associate professor of economics at Ave Maria University, associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, author of a recent column for the Daily Caller titled "Historically Low Abortion Rates Demonstrate Pro-Life Success." You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. New, keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk about a new massive report on cohabitation and its effect on children with Holly Shear of The Federalist right after this.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois invites you to an open house from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Sunday, February the 12th. Take a tour, visit with faculty and administration, and find out more about financial assistance and scholarships. For more information, call Dr. Jay Krause, 618-656-0043, or send an email to j.krause@melhs.org. Open house at Metro East Lutheran High School, Edwardsville, Illinois, Sunday afternoon, February 12th.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.